One more thing that I didn't mention that we're kind of doing just a little bit the last couple of years, I want to encourage you that we're going to do again this year. During our Sunday school in 2 weeks, that will be the Sunday school right before Christmas, we will have a birthday party for Jesus. So if you don't normally come to Sunday school, I encourage you to come. We'll have some cupcakes, and we'll have just a little bit different way of doing our Bible study. And we have a game to play that was introduced to us just the other night. Connie and I had a blessing on Thursday night to go down to Fredericksburg. I forget the name of the facility that we used a couple of times now, but it's a really, really nice facility. And it's the SBCV, Southern Baptist Conservatives, which we're now part of, regional pastors, banquet. And they have a couple of them across the area for Northern Virginia area that Darrell Webb oversees and is a ministers to the pastors and churches in the area. So we were able to sit with a couple other pastors that we didn't know and a couple of folks there that we didn't know. And I was able to have a little time the last couple of weeks to make a little Christmas present for Darrell to give to Darrell on our behalf and the church's behalf. And so I made him a bird feeder. And he called me the other day and said, "Wow, I can't believe it." And he was really blessed by that. So on our behalf, I gave that to him, our church, to thank him for what he does for us throughout the year. And it's just a real beautiful facility. Has all these hand-hewn rafters in it. And it's right there on 208, just outside of Fredericksburg, a little way. It's a really pretty place. But for a Christmas celebration there that night, they had a little puzzle game that we did. And so I took a couple sheets that I can photocopy and we'll have for our birthday for Jesus. And we'll have some cupcakes and a little bit of hot chocolate, maybe some coffee and some things. So in 2 weeks, if you don't normally come to Sunday school, let me encourage you to come to Sunday school and we'll celebrate the birth of Jesus in a little special way during our Sunday school. So take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Luke chapter 1. And I am going to be doing a little mini-series. Now, not a TV mini-series, of course, but a Bible series on this wonderful season that we call Christmas. My change of going from a normal book preaching through a book and preaching to two series back-to-back, last 2 weeks, a mini-Thanksgiving series, and now 3 weeks for a mini-Christmas series. Maybe I'm the one that brought in the cold weather. I don't know. Maybe my change brought in the cold weather. So hopefully I'll get back to things normal and I'll bring some warm weather back in January. Connie and I have been given an opportunity to go to Branson, Missouri later this month. And we have been trying to go to all the 50 states. And we've been to Missouri before, but we're going to be next door to Oklahoma. So I think we're this timeshare thing they kept bugging me about to come that I get to say no to again because I already have one and one's more than enough already. But they wanted me to go, kept calling. I said, "Okay, where do you want me to go? I'm going to go for free." So we're going to Branson, Missouri, but because we're going to be so close to Oklahoma, we're going to go a couple days early and go to Oklahoma. So, brother, I won't be here the last Sunday of this month, and I'll be having somebody come in and share with us, and I'm not sure who that's going to be yet. So this is a mini-series on a season of good tidings. Well, hopefully, after I've done this, we'll bring in some good warm weather. We'll have one of those January thaws here in a couple of weeks. I saw on my phone app on the weather, it's not supposed to be out of the 40s all week this week. In a couple nights, it's going to be in the teens. So if you don't have grandma's old quilt out on the bed, it might be a good time to do that this week. During the time that the New Testament was written, the Roman government would often send around a group of heralds or messengers proclaiming an important message. They would call it sometimes good tidings. They were spreading good tidings. One of the reasons they would spread good tidings, if someone in the emperor or the king's family had a recent birth. And so they would go around sharing these good tidings. And so the New Testament writers, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, pick up on that, and they share several times of good news or good information coming to the world about Christ and events leading up to Jesus Christ being born. Another reason that they would send around the heralds to herald the good information or the good tidings was the fact that they had won some type of military victory. They had conquered another part of the land. Their borders had expanded. And also when Jesus Christ is born and the information being shared about that, victory is being won. New borders are being expanded. The kingdom of God is being opened up to greater people and the claiming of this good news of great tidings. Today, our first one, we will gaze into the life of Zechariah and Elizabeth. The good tidings that were brought to them leading up to the Messiah coming. It's part of this, what God had promised in the Old Testament, in the book of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, that a messenger was going to come prior to the Messiah. And this gift, this treasure, this great one that God had promised is going to come into the family of Zechariah and Elizabeth. So stand as we give honor, reverence, and respect and magnify the word of God. Luke chapter 1, starting at verse number 5. And going down to verse number 23 eventually. But let's just start as we stand to read through verse number 13. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was the daughters of Aaron. It doesn't mean her father was Aaron. It means that she was also of the priestly line of the family of Aaron. They were both of the line of Aaron. And so it goes on and says, her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. And they were both well stricken in years. And it came to pass, as while they executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people were praying without or outside at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord on the right side of the altar of incense. Notice it says an angel. Many times in the New Old Testament you'll see the angel of the Lord. And the angel in the Old Testament is none other than Jesus Christ's appearance before his pre-incarnate state. It's called a Christophany. Many times in the Old Testament it says the angel, but this was an angel, even gives his name to us here in the passage. Saw an angel. Oh, I lost my place. Verse number 12. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Father, again, we thank you for this precious book we call the Bible, your word to us. Lord, it lays out the message of a coming Savior, a coming Messiah. And Lord, here we begin to examine how these things begin to culminate, how they begin to come together. And you were proclaiming something new was taking place. Great tidings were coming to the people that had long lay in darkness, long waited for the deliverer. And so, Lord, we thank you that it's been revealed to us that a Savior has come. And so, Lord, as we look at this, may our hearts rejoice together in the good tidings that Zacharias and Elizabeth began to enjoy. That, Lord, we enjoy them too, because we see what you were doing. We see what you have done. And so, Lord, strengthen and encourage our hearts from what we hear from you today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's continue on in reading down and seeing this. And go right down to verse number 25, picking up at 14. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. And it shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now that's unusual. The Holy Spirit, this is still intertestament period, kind of a transition from Old Testament to New Testament. The Holy Spirit would often come upon people in the Old Testament for a task, for a time, for a period. And then sometimes the Holy Spirit will be withdrawn when God was finished using that person for that task, or sin might drive the Holy Spirit away. In the New Testament, we have the promise of the sealing of the Holy Spirit, but not until we get saved, till we receive Christ as our Savior and Lord, we receive the Holy Spirit. But this, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit would be on him from birth, a unique individual by all means. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the power and the spirit and power of Elias, it says, your translation, it means also Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel that standeth in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee, to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb or unable to speak until the day that this thing shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. There was a normal expectation for about the time that one would be in there for a priest to perform this burning of the incense. And he was there for a lot longer. And so they wondered, had he died? It was possible that someone could go before the Lord as a priest and there'd be unconfessed sin and there would be death. We remember back in the Old Testament when two, the sons of Aaron, were struck dead for their disobedience. And so they wondered why he had not returned. Verse 22, and when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days for his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked upon me, to take away my reproach among men. And so God had blessed her, and she hid herself for a while, and she probably wanted to get past that point where she felt a little more safe about this pregnancy. It was an amazing thing. Now, this is not the first time, sure, in the Bible that a lady of beyond normal age of bearing children, and we think most of all of Sarah and Abraham, that God was doing something great during their time, establishing a new nation, establishing the people of the Jews, and now God is doing something great again, and God's getting people's attention, especially right there at the temple. And so all this led up to a time when they should have recognized who Jesus was. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are in that part of the Bible that we do call the New Testament. But let's remember that most of these four books are taking really that transition period, kind of going from old to the New Testament. So everything that's being done here is still operating under the Old Testament. We don't have to offer the incense and those things and the continual sacrifices at the temple, continual sacrifices in the Holy of Holies once a year, because we're now under the New Covenant. The new fully came after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So, this is the same angel that appeared to Daniel when he tells him, I am Gabriel. So God was doing some really great things. And in Daniel, we have the prophecies about the time period that Messiah would actually come. From the days that Daniel prophesied, the Israelites would return from Babylon and go back to the promised land and rebuild under Zerubbabel and rebuild under Nehemiah. We're told how long before Messiah would come and be cut off. And it's right here at the time period in which Zechariah sees Gabriel, the angel. So God was really doing something quite marvelous. And so our series is entitled, A Seasons of Good Tidings. And today is Good Tidings for Zacharias and Elizabeth. The first good tiding, a good tiding of righteous living. Good news about righteous living. Look at verse number 6. It's good information. It's good news. The Bible says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Does this mean that we have an example of two other people that were sinless in the Bible besides Jesus? No, certainly it does not mean that. Because elsewhere in the Bible, we learn that the Bible teaches otherwise. These servants of the Lord were living their faith in a manner that was pleasing to the Lord. They were spiritually strong. It is said that they were walking, or spiritually walking, we would have it, in the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless. Blameless does not mean sinless, but it does mean they were living godly. They were living righteous. They were living without unconfessed sin. When sin did enter their lives, their spirit was sensitive to that, and they went soon to confess that they might live blameless, that they might live righteous. Only Jesus Christ was without any sin. That's why he's the only one could be the ultimate sacrifice on the cross for our sins. But they did live blameless. They lived, sometimes the New Testament used the word perfect. It really should be the word mature. And so this is an example of people that were being righteous and living. Now God, for many years, apparently had not answered their prayer to give them a child. But they never used that for an excuse to not live righteous and to live blameless. So the first good tidings that we have is that we see two people up in their ages living righteous, blameless lives and living that testimony for God. Second of all, we see the good tidings of a selection. The good tidings of a selection. Verse number 8 and verse number 9, it tells us, "And it came to pass, while they executed the priest's office before God and the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple." Historians tell us that at this time there was about 1,800 people that could qualify for this priestly office. And so certainly they couldn't have 1,800 priests doing this, it would take forever. And so the Bible says here that he was selected by a lot. There was 24 divisions of the priests. The sons of Aaron had gone out, and by this time, as they'd come back from captivity, as they had refurbished the temple, and Herod had refurbished the temple one more time. Herod was from the land of the Moabites. And he was somewhat kind to the Jews, and he was kindly to the Jewish plot and the temple, and he wanted to really be on their good side, and so he had refurbished this temple. So the temple that he goes into, we refer to as Herod's temple. It was destroyed in 70 A.D. But in order to go in and burn the incense, to be chosen out of the 24 sections, they drew lots. The Bible didn't tell us clearly how they did it, but there were different methods. Sometimes we today may call it drawing straws or different things like that. And so it was God had superseded, and God had interceded even in this menial task, a small task, in drawing the lot to be drawn for Zacharias, because God had a plan. Because this child was coming, because it had been prophesied, and God is orchestrating. We see the sovereignty of God working once again. Zechariah was the one that was chosen. Now, priests did not retire. It was in the Old Testament law that priests did not retire. Some of the people that were the Levites that did other things in the temple, they only did the leading of worship and the songwriting and leading in songs up to a certain age, but priests did not retire. So we really don't have any real definite idea how old Zacharias was. But the Bible tells us Elizabeth and Zechariah were past the normal point of expectation of having a child. And so he has now chosen by lot. You had to be one of the sons of Aaron, had to be a man. In order to be a priest, your father had to be a priest. Well, we know later on that John the Baptist was the son. John the Baptist didn't become a priest. He became a prophet, an evangelist, so to speak, out in the wilderness. When Zechariah was chosen through the lots, he still believed that God was inside of what was doing. He knew that what he was getting ready to do was a great privilege, but also what he did carried with it a great responsibility. We as Christians can say the same thing. We, as being born again, Christ has come in us. The Lord has saved us. The Holy Spirit has drawn us to himself. He saved us, and with that, it carries a great privilege.
being called a child of God. But it also carries with it a great responsibility to live for Him, to shine for Him, and to share the good news about Him and do what He asks us to do. Now, this drawing of lots was an amazing thing. God was involved in the drawing of lots in other times in the Bible. Do you remember some other times when they drew lots that God interceded and brought forth? Well, when Jonah was on the boat, and it was rocking to and fro, and they said, look, the gods of the seas. They weren't believers in Jehovah God. And they said, look, the gods of the seas must be angry with us. And they drew lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah to cast him over into the sea. And then after Christ's resurrection, the disciples that were still remaining, the now would become apostles because they'd seen the resurrected Christ, they said, Christ has chosen 12. Maybe we should replace Judas. And they had two candidates for it, and they drew lots, and Matthias's name was chosen. God interceded and brought them, Matthias, to come in as one of the 12. And so there was a good tiding of the righteous living that they have. So good tidings of the selection that this man, of all the ones that could have been chosen, was chosen for that time and for that reason, and he would get to see the angel Gabriel, and Gabriel would tell him that his wife Elizabeth was going to have a child. Then we see another good tiding, a good tiding of a message from God. Good tiding of a message from God. That's what the good tidings are, good messages. And so all these are good messages, but now the message is coming directly from God. Verse number 11, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord on the right hand aside of the altar. And Zechariah saw him, verse 12, and he was troubled and fell, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, so there's a tiding of a message from God through the angel. One of the roles of an angel is a messenger. God often uses angels as messengers. God has other roles for the angels also. But we see throughout the Bible how often they're used as messengers. Gabriel had some information that all the people of the land needed and had been waiting for a long time. 400 years since the prophet Malachi. And they had gone through some troubles. God had intervened and done some other things. It was during between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that we have what we now call Hanukkah. That the Jews were facing opposition. And the old wicked leader at that time had pushed some of the Jews out into a desert place. And they had to leave their temple. When they went back into the temple, they went back in. And when they lit the temple back up under the Maccabees, it was the Maccabean revolt. And when they lit the oil, there was enough oil for it to last for one day. But God gave enough oil for 12 days. And that's how we got the miracle of Hanukkah. You know Jesus celebrated Hanukkah? Jesus celebrated it. And so Hanukkah is a Jewish holiday that celebrates the lights. But I think it was a reminder to God's people that the light of the world was on his way. That God had not forgotten his promises. And he was sending the light of the world, soon coming the world. Don't give up on God's promises. God was reminding them. And God's message through the angel to Gabriel was a part of that opening up, and God is still at work. God is still doing something. We're getting ready to enter a new period of time because God is sending a message through an angel. It's been a long time since in the history of the Israelites have been recording of an angel's appearance. Joshua had seen the angel of the Lord. He was called the captain of the Lord of hosts. And also, I believe it was Gideon and saw an angel that told him that God was going to use him for a great battle. And now God has appeared to Gabriel, to appear to Daniel in the land of Babylon. And now God appears in the temple. So God is doing some great things. It's great tidings for the people. And then fourthly, there's a good tiding of the news that his prayer had been heard and answered. Verse number 13. And the Bible says, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. God gave his name to be John. His prayer had been heard. Elizabeth's prayer had been heard. And now their prayer that had been heard was not only heard, but their prayer was getting ready to be answered in a marvelous way. Not in the normal time that they expected, not in the normal way they expected. For many people, in those days, they looked on people without children through great reproach as a sign of God's direct punishment. Of course, we know that's not true. We know it's not true through many things in the Bible, that, you know, how traditions get started and get so strong. They had not probably prayed about this request in some time because of their age. Maybe they had given up on that prayer request. But God stepped in. But God. Boy, that's an important phrase sometimes we find in the Bible. But God. But God steps in. And sometimes we do the same thing. We've prayed for somebody. We've prayed for a situation. We've prayed something. And we think, maybe God's not going to do anything about that. And we move on. And many times we move on in good faith, and we just move on believing that God has said no. And all the time God had been saying, wait, but we didn't know that. And then, but God steps in, and he answers. Let me encourage you today. There might be somebody or something you're praying about. Don't give up. If that person's still alive, if that situation still exists, don't give up. Keep praying until you know that God has said no for sure, or God might still say yes. God had heard their prayer. And God hears our prayers. Now, the Bible says that fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, or is very effective. So make sure when we're praying, we've confessed sin. Make sure we're living clean and right before God. If not, ask God to cleanse us and restore us, because the Bible says that sin can hinder prayer. But the sin hadn't hindered the prayer of Elizabeth and Zacharias, because the Bible says they were righteous and blameless. What did hinder their prayer? God's time. And God's time, when it was God's time, when God was doing something, when God was bringing things together that mankind couldn't see, and God was knitting things together to bring this child into their life that would be the forerunner of the Messiah, who one day would stand before Jesus and proclaim to his disciples and the friends of Jesus and anybody else who was around, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. God's timing through a prayer that had been prayed. Never forget that God is awesome and is gracious and he hears prayer. And then fifthly, there's a good tiding that the Messiah is coming soon. We've alluded to that a little bit already. The good tiding, the great news, the Messiah is coming. This one is going to be born to you, Zachariah and Elizabeth. He's the forerunner. Malachi's promise is being fulfilled. He's coming, and he's going to go and begin to tell people about it. And we find that in verse number 14 all the way to verse number 25. There was more good news than just the fact that Zechariah and Elizabeth were going to be parents. A child that was going to be used in a mighty and a special way. Now, Samson's parents had been told that he also was going to be used by God in a great way. But John the Baptist would be even greater. Now, these are some of the special ways that God was going to proclaim through him that this one was special and was going to be preparing the way of Messiah, found in verses 14 to 25. Let me make a list of them for us today. Seven of them. Number one, Zechariah will have great joy and gladness. Usually when a father, a child is born, well, he's just, you know, telling everybody about it. The other night, one of our sons and I, Connie, were talking, and I don't know how the conversation came up, but came up about how years ago, people, men, even if they didn't smoke, after their child would be born, they'd go back to work, and they'd hand out cigars. You remember that tradition? And so when our oldest son was born, I went to the store, and I bought some cigars. I did. I bought some blue ones. Bubblegum ones. And I began to hand them out. Because I was one of the people know, you know, we have a son. And so Zechariah was going to have joy and gladness, like he probably hadn't expected to ever have. Not only that he was having a son, this was a special son. The joy and gladness that he was going to share. Number two, it says many will rejoice at his birth. He is going to touch many lives. Many lives. Many will rejoice because of this child. Thirdly, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. What an amazing thing to be told by a father. Your child that's going to be born is going to be great in the sight of God. All the people of the world. My son will be great. God was doing something. The trembling was taking place. God was doing something. Fourthly, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Filled with the Holy Spirit from birth? Wow. That's amazing. From the time that he is born, on that day, the Holy Spirit enters him. That just doesn't happen. That's not normal. Wow. Elizabeth and Zacharias must not only be thinking about the privilege, but the great responsibility they had. Then it says, next, he will turn many to the Lord. Wow. He's going to be a teacher, a preacher, evangelist of some type. To turn people to the Lord. Not turn people away from God, but turning people to the Lord. Next, he will go in the spirit of Elijah. Elijah? He will be like Elijah. Remember before Elijah died? Elisha asked him to pour out his spirit upon him that he might go and carry on the same kind of ministry. Ain't been a prophet like that since. Quite like that. Been some great ones. Daniel, Jeremiah, Jonah, many others, but none quite with the spirit of Elisha. But this son would. And then lastly it says he will make a people prepared for the coming of the Lord. In his lifetime, or somewhere close to it, Zachary must be thinking, we're being told the Messiah is nearby. It's been now 4,000 years since a promise given to Adam and Eve. It's been over 900 years given to the promise since it would be on the family of David. It's been 400 years since Malachi. It's going to be in our lifetime with our sons going to be either in his lifetime or very close because he's preparing the people to meet the Lord. You know, we have the same role as John the Baptist. The responsibility of preparing people to be ready to meet the Lord, that's a heavy responsibility. But God doesn't send us out on our own. He gives us the Word of God and the Spirit of God to do it. Fifthly, the tidings of Elizabeth's pregnancy. The good news of Elizabeth's pregnancy, verse number 24, as we close out. Verse 24. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. Just like Abram and Sarah, they had to go and act in faith and for order for the conception to take place. It wasn't the same as the conception of Mary where the Holy Spirit, she was conceived the Holy Spirit. Remember the verse said the Holy Spirit would come after his birth. Only the Holy Spirit was going to be prior to the birth with Jesus to impregnate Mary because he's the Son of God. But Elizabeth became pregnant. How'd that conversation go? Wasn't like in their days it was a pregnancy test for them to rely upon like many people do today. For Zacharias, did Elizabeth travel to the time when he did this with her? We don't know. Probably for that great of an honor. He couldn't talk. Did he begin to write it down? Was Elizabeth the first one to read what was going to take place? How could you imagine her reading this? I saw the angel of Gabriel and he said to me that you and I are going to be what? Are you serious? Yes. He didn't say it. Yeah. What was that conversation like? When the child was born, what emotions did they experience? Tears of joy? Fist pumping? Maybe a little jump for Zacharias like he hadn't jumped in a long time? Or was it maybe just sitting in silence, holding this precious baby, realizing that he was a major, every child's a gift from God, but a major and a marvelous way gift from God to prepare the coming of the Messiah. Not the Messiah, but a very high office. Jesus would later on go and call John the Baptist the greatest prophet of all. God was doing something great in their family and in the nation. Good tidings that they were closer to the Messiah's coming than they'd ever been. And that he had come would be the message that the good tidings would give us in some future messages next week about the Messiah. Good tidings today is that God was keeping his promise. And God was bringing it to pass when he said he's going to bring it to pass for thousands of years. And God was still hearing and answering prayer. And God was still working in the midst of the Israelites. And God was still bringing that Savior. And that's true of us today. God's still working in our midst. And God's still bringing the Savior. And maybe in our lifetime that Jesus returns. And God is sending people still forth, us, in their world, in their sphere of influence, to prepare people ready for the Lord. Their gifts and offerings that we give every week are going to missionaries' work to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. We're involved in the same work that John the Baptist was. Though he prepared for the first coming, we're preparing for the second coming. And we're involved in a